Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas, has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Today's message is part two of The Fall of Babylon and the Marriage Supper. Now here's Pastor Steve.
Now we see two groups crying over the fall of Babylon. People got upset. Well, the two groups saw the kings of the earth and the merchants of the earth, because once again, this was all the commercial side of Babylon. They had committed fornication with Babylon by rejecting the true God and going after idols, especially for money's sake. In other words, they sold their souls for wealth. People are still doing that today, but it will truly be done during this time in the tribulation. I want you to think of this. All of the commerce will end. Shipping will be destroyed, and the shipping industry will be ruined. People who depended on this whole economic system to live, to protect them, to satisfy them, to provide for them, it will ultimately all fall into shambles. In verse 21, it says, a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a huge millstone, and he threw it into the ocean and shouted, just like this, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down with violence and will be never be found in the world again. Imagine this. The casting down of that millstone indicates the suddenness of God's judgment on that Antichrist empire. Now, heaven and the saints, the Bible tells us, will be rejoicing over the evil city's judgment. In verse 20, it says, rejoice over her, O heavens, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Now, Babylon was not only the commercial capital, but possibly the music capital of the world. Because listen to what it says in verse 22. The sound of the harpists, the musicians, the flautists, and the trumpeters shall not be heard anymore. With the judgment of Babylon, the headquarters of the Antichrist commercial system being destroyed, it destroys the Antichrist world. We've seen now the destruction of the beast's economic system, his religious empire, and all that remains is for Christ to destroy his armies. And we have come to Revelation chapter 19. We're in Revelation chapter 19. I know I'm moving pretty fast, but I'm giving you an overview. You can go back and read the entire chapter yourself. It begins with a heavenly choir singing praises to God and leads to the announcement of the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're in chapter 19. Let me begin to read verses 1-3. It says, after this, I heard what sounded like a vast crowd in heaven shouting, praise the Lord! Salvation and glory and power belongs to our God. His judgments are true and just. He has punished the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality. He has avenged and murdered, that is, he has avenged the murder of his servants. Now, heaven is rejoicing. They are rejoicing over Babylon that caused the deaths of multitudes of God's saints. But now Babylon has been destroyed. Verse 3, it says, and again their voices rang out, praise the Lord! The smoke from the city ascends forever and ever. So we're the headquarters of Satan, his throne, and where this commercial center was in the area of Rome. The Bible says the smoke of the city ascends forever and ever. It's a smoking mess. And the people in heaven are rejoicing and thanking God In verse number 7, it goes on to say, now this is an announcement that is made while the saints are actually rejoicing again over the demise of the city. It says in verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give God glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Verse 8, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Wow. John is so totally overwhelmed. He falls to his knees and he begins to worship the angel. The Bible says in verse 10, and I fell at the feet of the angel, but he said to me, don't do that. See that you don't do that? I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Worship God. This angel says, stop that. I know I look magnificent, but I'm just your fellow servant, man. Up here, we all look like this. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. See, all of these things that are happening here, folks, I told you from the very beginning of this book, this is the revelation from Jesus Christ speaking to us. No matter what the world may think of Jesus today, they kind of know part of his story. He was born, you know, the Virgin Mary was his mom, and on and on and on. But now we see him who he really is. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the God of creation. And now he has judged the Antichrist and his kingdom. And a little pause for the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to talk to you a little bit about that. I'll see how far I get. I'll probably continue with that more next time. Jesus had spoken about the marriage supper or the feast through the themes of many of his parables. I'm just going to give you one. In Matthew chapter 22, I'm going to start at verse 2. Jesus spoke about the marriage of the king's son. It says, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. Many guests were invited, and when the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify everyone that it was time to come. Now, Jesus is identified as the groom, and the church is his bride. Let me give you a scripture for that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 2. It says, I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself, for I promise you as a pure bride to one husband, Jesus Christ. So here Paul is talking about the church being a pure bride to her husband, Jesus Christ. Now, when will the marriage supper take place? Well, we believe that the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place after the judgment seat of Christ. So you say, what is going to happen? Well, as we can tell in the scripture, the rapture takes place. After the rapture takes place, we'll all be in heaven with the Lord. Probably we'll have time to visit with loved ones and friends who have gone on before us. But at some point in time, then we are going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. All believers are going there. All believers will be judged for their service and their behavior here while on earth. So you think, hey, I got to heaven, home free. Kinda home free. Because you still have to meet with Jesus. He's going to talk to you about what you did here on earth. But some people are going to say, sit on that rock. I need to tell you. Or maybe a chair. It might be a golden chair, so it might feel good. But he's going to tell us. He is going to bring up how we lived on earth. And did we obey him? Did we do the things that he wanted us to do on earth? Now, none of this has to do with going to hell. We've passed that. We don't have to worry about that. But we do have to worry about a frank conversation that we're going to have with Jesus himself. I've heard so many people in the past say, I can't wait to see Jesus. I'm going to run right up to him and give him a hug and give him a kiss. And my first question is, well, how much are you doing that right now? How much time do you spend in prayer? How much time do you spend in the Word? What is Jesus really going to say to you when you get to heaven? Help me preach this message. Look at somebody and say, what will Jesus say to you when you reach heaven? All believers will be judged for their service and behavior while on earth.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a quick look at the messages coming your way on the radio ministry this week and in this Sunday service.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Thanks for listening to the program today. I'm beginning my prophetic summer series teaching on the book of Revelation. So I want you to invite family, friend, and co-workers to join us. Revelation is a prophetic book. It's not history. It reveals the future. Most of it is still an unfulfilled prophecy to come. The author of the book of Revelation is Jesus himself. In Revelation chapter 22 and 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message for the churches. Although rarely taught, the book of Revelation is one of the most important books in the Bible. Jesus is literally telling the Christian church what will happen in the near future and how to prepare for it. I would like to invite you to Spirit Life Church, where you will hear relevant messages like this every Sunday. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
We will be airing these informative messages on the book of Revelation over the next few weeks. Be sure and join us daily right here on KDKR. And we encourage you to be with us at the church for our uplifting live service every Sunday morning at 10. The church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. If you would like more information about our ministry, be sure and check out the website at aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
I'm going to go a little deeper. In Romans chapter 14 and 10, it says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You see, Christians will be judged for their obedience to the Word of God and their faithfulness in service. And Jesus gave a parable about our judgment. For the time when he returns. Matthew chapter 25, let me read that for you. Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 14. Jesus gave this parable. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on his journey. So here, Jesus is talking about our service to him based upon the gifts and the talents that he's given us. And, you know, for people who say, well, I don't think I can do what God called me to do. Actually, you can do it. The scripture says here he gave to each according to their ability. Hello? He gave you something you can do. He even put it in writing. And then he went on his journey. The Bible says, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made 5 more talents. And likewise, he who had 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and he hid the Lord's money or the talent. The Bible says, and after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. This scripture is referring to the judgment seat of Christ. So whatever gifts he's given you to use, God is saying some of you will use those gifts and you'll gain more. But perhaps there'll be someone who does nothing. They hide it in the ground. They never worked in the church. They never used that gift, that talent that God gave them. And here they are. Now they're standing in front of the Lord. I'm not going into the whole story. But the Lord is going to be looking for our quality, our commitment, and the attitude that we had when we served him here on earth. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 12, it talks about that. It says, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it. What day? The day we stand before the Lord. He's going to declare whether you performed for him with gold and silver and precious stones that was so important to you, the job he gave you, or did you treat it like wood, hay, and straw? It says, for the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire. That fire will be the Lord himself. At that time, he will judge you based on how you accomplished his work. The Bible says, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he'll receive a reward. And then it goes on to say, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you know that some people in heaven, they are going to be saved, but they may still have the smoke on their robe, because they were saved, but not because they did everything right and obeyed the Lord, but they didn't do enough not to make it in to heaven. See, we're going to be judged for our obedience to God, for the things that he told us to do. I'm not talking about sins. I'm talking about perhaps ministry. You may have a ministry call. He may have told you to go and do this or to do this. He may have said, hey, I want you to do this in my kingdom. I want you to do this in the church. Would you please go and do these things? See, all of these things matter. When God speaks to us, all of these things matter. They may be forgotten by you, but they're not forgotten by the Lord. And when you get in front of him, he's going to remind you. Now listen to what it says in Luke chapter 12 and 47. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. What? I didn't think I was going to get a spanking in heaven. I pray you don't. I'm not going to get a spanking. I'm standing in front of you doing what I was called to do. The Bible says, but he who did not know, yet he committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with a few stripes. Well, Lord, I really didn't know what you were trying to say to me. I was trying to figure it out. There was no pastor I could talk to and clear it up with. I tried. Please, Lord, does that mean I get off clear? The Bible says, no, you'll be beaten with a few stripes. Nobody gets away. You want to know why? The Bible says, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, God will ask the more. You know, there's a level of danger for disobeying God. And this is something we need to talk about. I'm about done now. We'll let you out. But there is a level of danger on how we disobey God and the things that he calls us to do. And that's why I'm talking to you about it. Well, you know, I've been talking about judging the Antichrist, but now we're coming to the end. We're at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But before you sit down, some of you may lose your appetite, but before you sit down, you're going to be judged. And God's going to go over all of the things he asked you to do. And did you do them? Did you serve me right? Did you obey me right? I said there's a danger because sometimes people don't know the difference and you can cross over into a sin. I'm not talking about that, but some people have. Because the Bible says in Matthew 7 and 21, not everyone who calls to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So there are going to be so many professing Christians who don't make the rapture because they disobeyed the word of God. They sinned and disobeyed the word of God. professing Christians will be surprised at the judgment. Now, we're going to continue with the marriage supper next time. And I want to say this to you folks. Look, we are going. How many of you are really going to heaven? Can I see your hand? No, I mean, you really are. You really plan to go. Okay, good. This book is such a great book because it puts it right out there in front of you. This is what God thinks about you going and what's going to happen when you get there, if you go or if you're left behind. But for every professing Christian, you should want to have everything God has for you. Yeah, give God a hand of praise. God's got some supernatural things for you. Before you get to heaven, he wants you to receive. And one of those things that he wants every believer to receive is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And this is important because this is what God has given us, the Holy Spirit, so that we can fulfill our call, so that we can fulfill our mission, so that we can even live right. Some of us are trying to live right out of our willpower. You can't. Lord, that is a cycle of, I did it again. I didn't mean to do it, but I did it again. No, you need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Bible says, if we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, live right, then we will fulfill God's purpose and his plan. None of us can live holy on our own, folks. Are you hearing me? You need the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who gives you the power to live right. We should want everything that God has for us. The Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a must. In Acts chapter 1 and 4, listen to what it says. Jesus commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So what's this about the Holy Spirit? Acts 1 and 8, you will receive power. We need power to live right. We need power to do right. I'm talking about spiritual power. Your willpower is not going to get it. Your willpower is, I tried again. God knows my heart. Yeah, that's why he sent the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. And then you'll be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. Now, folks, I'm coming to the close. If you have not received the Holy Spirit and you do plan to go to heaven, I want to invite you to receive him today. You know, everything I am telling you guys is going to take place. It's all in the Bible. Well, I gave you references. We have gone from Revelation chapter 1. We are at chapter 19. I have been giving you what Jesus says to us. He wrote it. He's telling us. And I'm simply exhorting you now to say, look, we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Shouldn't you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit to help you to live right, to do right, to fulfill God's mission in your life? Well, you certainly should.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you were moved by today's message, you can download a copy for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org, and click on Audio Messages. Our new website makes listening and downloading faster and more simple than ever. And if you would like to help keep this radio ministry alive, you can make a gift offering right there online. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message was called The Fall of Babylon and the Marriage Supper, and this was part two. Now Pastor Steve has a prayer for you.
If you've never received Jesus Christ into your heart or would like to renew your relationship with him, pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I am sorry for them and I forsake them now. I invite you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Your word says, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I will be saved. I do believe and I do confess that Jesus is the Son of God. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer with me, then Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And I want to encourage you to continue to seek God by talking to Him as your best friend. Read the Bible. Trust God for all of your needs. He's always there with you. God bless you and keep listening to A Place to Grow.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.